own business. You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality health care is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Supervisor Leonard Modi and County Executive Officer Larry Lees. Let's find out why they voted against the expansion of the new county jail. Also, Blueprint for Safety. How is the county and the city going to work together? All this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson. We have made ourselves yet another Sunday closer to Christmas, and I hope you guys are all kind of taking a little step back and enjoying it a little bit. It's a cold and wet and kind of a cozy morning, you know. It's kind of one of those mornings you just want to maybe throw on the tube and watch a Christmas classic, cover up under a blanket, maybe with a good book or something. It's got that kind of a feel to it today. But I hope everybody is doing well, and as I was saying, I hope for a lot of us out there that have been working on the Jefferson movement and a lot of the things that have been going on, you know, we've been going all year at 100 miles an hour or more and just going and going and going. I hope you are taking the holiday to kind of catch a breath, to take a step back, just relax and enjoy it a bit. I finally got a couple of days to do that and just kind of catch a breather and do some of the family stuff for Christmas. And I don't know, it's been a real recharge of the batteries. It's kind of a reminder of why we're doing what we're doing and we're fighting so hard for it. And, you know, just a chance to drag your feet and move a little bit slower. And I don't know, just anybody out there that's hammering away at it, take a step back, take a deep breath, remember what you're doing it for, you know, and maybe just drag your feet through the bowl season here. And don't burn yourself out, because we got a lot of work and a lot of fighting to do coming next year. So, and we definitely are finishing up this year with a bang. If you hadn't noticed yet, you're stuck with just me today. The mouse is off and about on mousely things. So you will be stuck with me. And kind of just wanted to continue to beat the drum today on jurisdiction and understanding jurisdiction and how important that is. And what that means to people and why. Last week we really covered it because one of the biggest arguments is, well, what do you do with all of the federal land that would be in the state of Jefferson? What are you going to do about the feds? And we got into it and explained in hopefully decent detail enough for people to grasp and start looking for themselves and understanding that the federal government does not have jurisdiction that is not granted to them by the states within the boundaries of the states. The only place that the federal government has jurisdiction as a judicial authority is 10-mile square area around the Capitol, Washington, D.C., and a federal reserve. And that was originally, at the time of the construction of the Constitution, a boatyard or a dockyard or a powder magazine or something that was mutually beneficial to all of the states in the Union, and where the federal government had exclusive judicial rights there. But at the same time, it still had to be ceded by the state under very specific circumstances and terms. And as that evolved, you know, we had things like the Federal Monuments Act, where the federal government was able to seize large swaths and tracts of land and put it under the government regulation. That is not our national forests. Our national forests are owned by the states. They are the sovereign domain of the states where they exist within those boundaries. So that is a quick recap. We're going to dig into that in a little bit more detail. So we just wanted to kind of get into that. And, oh, I'm getting a bunch of birthday wishes from everybody in the chat room. It is my birthday. Thank you, everybody. And getting an update from Patty that the Reading bus for Declaration Day is full. That's going to be January 6th. It's going to be a Wednesday on the west lawn of the Capitol. Any people wanting to get on the bus now are going to have to get on in Red Bluff, Corning, or Williams. $27 per seat. Patty, if you can shoot the contact info again at me without the mouse, I am useless on that end. So, but yeah, and that's some of the things before we dive into jurisdiction again, that we've had a lot going on in the state of Jefferson. Amador County is working towards their declaration. El Dorado County has been informed that they are in by a declaration of the people and a declaration of several elected officials in support, namely Sheriff DeAugustini there, who is a huge supporter of State of Jefferson. There's some of us that hope Sheriff DeAugustini would probably take on a larger role in law enforcement and the greater street structure when we get going, because he is a man who fundamentally understands the Constitution and local rights versus constitutional rights, especially when it comes to federal law enforcement. And the update from Patty is, please call her at 530-833-0265, or email, if you don't reach her at the phone, email her at smypatty, that's S-M-I, Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, at gmail.com. So, and get some of those last buses, because we've got all kinds of declarations going into Sacramento, things that are going on, and it's going to be a fantastic day, January 6th. If you guys haven't been to a Declaration Day, it is a one-of-a-kind event. It is an ability to meet your fellow compatriots in the different counties. You know, it's always neat to see a lot of people that have talked for 6 months on Facebook and have no idea who each other are, and they kind of meet each other for the first time. And the sense of empowerment and true entitlement that people leave with from a Declaration Day. And you should be able to leave your state capital with a sense of entitlement of that state capital. It's yours. It's your representatives. It's your right and your purview to fix what's going on down there. And to see people leave with that understanding is always fantastic. do want to get into some of the other things that are going on in a couple of the other counties, and then we'll get into our discussion today. But we're going to have to go ahead and wander off to our first break here. And we will see you on the other side of that. If you guys have any questions or comments, give us a call at 530-605-4567. Or, as always, in the chat room at KCNR1460.com.
That California was never supposed to be just one state. Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, six unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Season's greetings. This is Mac McCraw, the Shasta County Veterans Service Officer. As an Air Force retiree who previously deployed to Iraq, I know how important it is to graciously say thank you to all the currently deployed soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines for putting your life on the line every day to defend freedom so that all of us back home can keep safe. Merry Christmas to all of you, and we will see you soon when you come home. And thank you, Shasta County family members, for your support during the holidays.
Mark your calendars for the wedding show event of the year. January 17th, it's the Bridal Guide Wedding Show, calling all brides, grooms, and families. Join us at Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3 p.m., where you can see over 100 vendors and a special live fashion show with tons of giveaways, including a free honeymoon trip. Make it a day to remember at the Bridal Guide Wedding Show. That's Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3. See you there.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Jefferson State of Mind, and a nice rainy state of mind it is today. I want to give a quick update to the tribe over there in Humboldt County. You guys know who you are along the Van Dusen. I hope you guys are paying attention to what's going on. The flood warnings are all over the place along the Dusen. Hope you guys are paying attention and sandbagged in. I know that you guys know what to do. You know, what's kind of funny is couple of years ago, all these people, the Van Dusen River went dry over in Humboldt County, and a lot of people were panicking and going, oh, it's the end times, and, you know, we're going to be in a desert, and there's no more water ever, and, you know, now they're panicking because it's flooding again, because, I don't know, we have this thing in California called weather, you know, this crazy warmy-changey stuff. I mean, what happened to America that we're terrified and we don't even trust the weather anymore to be weather? I don't know what happened. Anyways, before I get off too far on that, we've got Steve Baird on the phone to discuss some of the things that have been going on this last week. You there, Steve?
I am here.
How goes it, sir?
Very well. Yeah, we had a little bit of an adventure at the Board of Supervisors in Alpine County, and we got there early enough to where we listened to almost 2 hours of normal board testimony, and there was a consistent message through each of the items they brought up was, hey, somebody's going to give us some money for this. Somebody's going to give us some money. We're going to partner with Mariposa County. We're going to partner with Amador County and Calaveras County so we can get some of their money. And so you just listened to item after item, and it was quite clear that they were hooked in to the mothership as far as being required to have money, other people's money to operate.
Well, there is a lot to that. I mean, I know that we've both looked at the financials of Alpine County, and, you know, a lot of it comes down to when there's a certain level that the state requires you to provide that is above your means and capability of raising the funds to do, they kind of create you as a welfare county at that point.
And they really have these poor folks locked in. And then after we'd gone through that, they had a little bit of a break. Then they allowed us to do our Jefferson presentation. You know, they gave us 10 minutes, but actually we went 40. They listened very politely, and then a number of county workers got up and described, you know, the programs that were going to fail because they were going to be getting all these grant funds from California. And, you know, at the end, the Board of Supervisors, one by one, all except for the person on the far right, the other four spoke, and said, you know, I'm a Californian, and, you know, if we don't have California's money, we're just not going to be viable. And I said, okay, well, you know, we came, we offered you, you know, liberty and a chance, and I explained the representation, how they would each have a senator and each have at least one assembly per population, even if their population is close to zero. And they weren't interested. They were more interested in the intravenous feeding, and they basically shooed us away. And, you know, the last supervisor on the far left, when she spoke, she said, yeah, pretty much don't come back. We're not interested. And so I think it's kind of a victory that, you know, the Jefferson State movement can go into a chamber, listen to the people, listen to the supervisors, and quietly say, hey, I think you've got the deal that you're looking for, and we don't have a match here.
Yeah, I would say that probably describes it very well. I mean, looking at the budget for Alpine County, initially for them, they are one of the very few red counties in the state of Jefferson that's not self-sustainable. I think almost $20 million
a year. Yeah, a little over $17 million a year. And so it's kind of like, ooh, okay, so our red total went from 101 down to $84 million. So that's good for them and good for us.
Yeah, and if things do kind of take that continuation down the eastern slope, they may end up with us anyways, which is, you know, inconvenient for them. But I don't know about us, and I don't know. I think the one thing that bugs me about Alpine County, I mean, like you said, we went in, they were polite. They actually followed the Constitution, allowed people to have a say. They listened. They did their thing, and they said, you know, hey, I don't think this is going to work for us. We didn't have any citizens really on the ground in Alpine that were interested, and that is what it is, and that's how government works, and it goes. But I think the one thing that bugs me is, I don't know if a lot of people have ever heard of the Alpine County Project. But there was a group out of the Bay Area in the late 60s and the late 70s that were not happy with how the things were going in California. They were
particularly not happy with the with particular culture that was growing down there in the San Francisco Bay Area. They didn't like how things were going, and they took a look at Alpine County, and they said, hey, here's this very small county, very sparsely populated. There's enough of us that we could actually go and move into this county, change the entire dynamic of the county, the board of supervisors, and basically kind of commit a coup, you know, a peaceful coup in Alpine County, and take it over and run it as they saw fit. Now, whatever your particular feelings are on that one way or the other, for a people that were so driven and ready to do something for that, for self-governance, to want to be self-governing and capable of living in an independent manner that is conducive to their way of life, to have fallen so far to become happily dependent, it just, that kind of bugs me.
Well, and they also, back in 1992, when Stan Statham has his advisory run, they voted 61% to separate.
Yeah.
So there's something that happened in the years in between.
Well, the years in between, it's been California's government. You know, that's, I look at a lot of people that have resisted the things that California have done. I look at business owners that have resisted CARB, that have resisted the water acts, that have resisted all of these things, and they have flat had their teeth kicked in. You know, there's a lot of people that have themselves been beat up by the state or watched their friends and neighbors just be beat up by the state for attempting to resist, and I think there's a certain amount of fear about sticking their head above ground.
Yeah, there was definitely, they believed, a very large risk for them to even attempt to separate. They had a lot of projects with a lot of high dollars that there was a definite fear that they were going to lose.
Well, and some of the things that we've been hearing from a couple boards of supervisors, there may be something to that the state of California is taking us as a credible enough threat now that they're starting to threaten counties financially.
That wouldn't be a surprise. I know that we did Colusa County a favor by the way that we got their declaration done, that they didn't have to raise a voice, but I think that they accepted the will of the people quite gladly, but it didn't put their projects at risk. So now is, you know, this is the second phase, and part of that's going to be retaliatory.
Yeah, and I think there may be a little bit more of that coming. But I think for people with a mindset like you and I, Steve, that's all the more reason to dig in like a mule and fight and not bend over and surrender.
Yeah, it's just to add the more tinder to the fire, I believe, that when they see that what kind of a bully that California can be in the open, that more people will just say, yeah, that's proof positive that we need to govern ourselves.
Yeah, it is, because the jurisdictional lines have been blurred, the constitutional lines in the state have been blurred. It's one great big free for all anymore, and the people that are losing are truly the people.
Yeah, but on a happier note, you know, Justin hadn't stopped. We went into the gun show in Placer County yesterday, and of people coming up, and I really like it because the younger they are, the faster they are to grab the pen and sign. You know, you get the grayer the gray and the thicker and bushier the gray mustache, you know, they want to grind you for a half hour, and then they'll take the paperwork. 2 hours later, they'll come back and sign. But it's the youth that's grabbing the pen, and they're kind of like, yeah, I get it. Here, where do I sign? And boom, they're off and going, and, you know, we talk about, you know, the upcoming elections and stuff like that, and I kind of explain that I'm trying to get elected so I can get thrown out of office, and they're kind of like, huh? But yeah, because if Jefferson happens, I'm out of a job. It'd be the best gig ever. And they kind of get that because, you know, they kind of understand the process, and, you know, having somebody who's going to be a legislator to basically give up their position in order to get Jefferson, and they kind of like, hey, that's kind of cool. So they start laughing at me.
Well, that's I do. I think a lot of the youth do get it, and you know, we're watching a lot of things that are going on, and a lot of the younger people are. they're cynical. A lot of the youth is very, very cynical of the way that things work and the way that their government is functional. Not so much the millennials, but a lot of the younger generation that's starting to come online now. I don't know that I've ever seen such a cynical group of people. And even the millennials, to a certain extent, are starting to trade in the hipster hairdos and the granola for a little bit of cynicism themselves, because they've figured out that they've been sold a bill of goods. It's kind of interesting times, really.
I did talk to one grandfather, and he said that his kids or grandkids were kind of getting plugged in. They're seeing, you know, the offer of free college from Clinton and stuff like that. And so there's a small faction of them that are kind of got a little bit of grubbing there, kind of reaching their hands out, what's in it for me, what's in it for me, what can I get for free? And, you know, he's kind of funny. He says, I'm changing my will. I don't want the ones that are sitting there grubbing for freebies. They're not going to get a free ride all their lives. They have to work. He said, I have one granddaughter that's working, paying taxes, and she gets it. You know, when she sees all the money being stripped out of her check, she gets it, and she's angry. But the ones that haven't put in a day's worth of work, boy, they just like, hey, this is awesome, and they're going to give me all these other things, free education. And
but has anybody sat them down and explained to them what free means?
They don't get it, because without her ever having to pay into the system and provide for others, they just like, this is the way things are. And so in the absence of working, the absence of paying taxes and being a contributor, they have no point of reference.
Absolutely. And I've been watching a lot of the back and the forth, and I don't want to dive into it too much on Jefferson, but I've come to the conclusion that the Bernie Sanders vote is the lazy vote. And that's not saying that people that vote for Bernie Sanders are lazy and expecting free stuff. I'm saying that people that want to vote for Bernie Sanders are burned out on the political process. They're tired of being screwed around by their government. They don't want to bother to look what Bernie Sanders really means. They want to just take what sounds good and go with it. That's what I mean by the lazy vote on that one. But we've got to get off to our break, so I want to thank you for calling, Steve. And I want to hit Patty's question here real quick before we get off. Patty, I don't believe that they can join us later. You know, if Alpine County wanted to go in later after the state of Jefferson was formed, I believe that they would have to go through their own process, their own Section 3, Article 4 state split. They would actually have to petition to separate from California, go through the entire process, and not only that, then they would have to petition the state of Jefferson to join us. There is a bit of an open question of how that process works while we're in the negotiation of what are the boundaries of the state of Jefferson. It's open-ended there of what, say, like an Alpine or Del Norte County, what could happen with them. But after the lines of the state of Jefferson are formalized, anybody that wants to join us would basically have to repeat everything that we've been doing over the last few years to come and join us. And with that, we've got to get off to our break. Phone number here is 530-605-4567. Give us a call.
Population, common food, but it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself. World, serve your own needs.
Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show, and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical,
the devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters,
the wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group, and the fun family experience of Chris Perandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show!
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
It's Dandelion's first Christmas in their new home. So join the ladies at 1322 Pine Street. Enjoy the 17 themed trees, where you will find exciting brands like Brighton, Alex and Ani, beautiful sweaters, and delicious candles with scents like pumpkin spice and cinnamon cider. Have your sweetheart fill out a wish list to make your shopping easier, or have one of the many wonderful ladies help you with that special gift. It's Dandelion Unique Gifts and Clothing at 1322 Pine Street in beautiful downtown Reading.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Well, the truth, well, it hurts to say, I'm gonna pack up my bags and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split, I can't stand it. I'm gonna give it up and quit, ain't never coming back. Girl, but before I get you going, I got to say, I know you used to love me, but that was yesterday. And the truth, I won't fight it. When the love starts burning, you got to do what's right. Oh, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Oh, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more.
Yep. Well, we can always hope we can get out of this thing without it getting too nasty. But that's kind of up to California at this point. So we do have a phone call here from Nick in Reading. Nick, are you there?
I'm here, Red. How are you this morning?
Oh, doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm terrific. Hey, listen. I understand it's Utah that sued for taking possession of their national forests.
Yes, it is.
I'm wondering how that's going. Who they sue? If they got a reply? If they're having to litigate? And how long practice or the process might be until they do take control? Do you have any information on that?
They have control of their land.
Utah does?
Yes, they do.
They can do what they want on the federal properties.
It's not federal properties. It's state of Utah properties, and yes, they can.
Well, I understand that. Now, did they sue for control of state properties or federal property? They took the property away from the feds and put it back in the state?
You can't sue for control of federal property. That's federal property. You can take repossession of state property, and that's what they did.
Okay, so you're talking like we could do that with the Shasta Trinity National Forest?
Absolutely.
And that's basically what they did?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm happy to hear that. We need to get that process going.
Yeah, with California, it'll never happen.
That's the problem, is the state has no desire to manage their forests. They do a very, very poor job of it now. They have no understanding of the ecological systems and the way that they work. And they've done nothing but hijack the process from the people that have lived here and dealt with it for generations and know how to properly manage a forest and resources and keep people safe. And they've removed that. And,
well, I understand that. I worked in logging all my life, and I see the poor forestry management, and it's poor at the national level also.
That it is.
I wonder why a county couldn't sue for control if a state could.
They can.
That would be a possibility?
They're a county, I believe, and that's where we wanted to get into our discussion on jurisdiction. Now, the state is sovereign over all of the lands within its boundaries and its waterways, but where the county, and specifically the county sheriff, has jurisdiction that supersedes the state is in public health and safety. If it becomes a public health and safety issue, the county is supreme. The sheriff of the county is supreme. And you take Otero County, New Mexico, where they actually deemed the forests, the federal forests, which are truly state forests, but the federally managed forests, as a health and safety issue because they were not being properly harvested, and the sheriff himself started issuing timber permits and timber sales so that they could go in and begin thinning the forest. And within 6 months, Otero County had two full-time mills. The feds turned around and sued him and said, "You can't do that on our land." Otero County said, "It's not your land." They got into a fight about that. Otero County won, and they continued to manufacture. Then the feds appealed it, took it to the federal level court, when the federal level court said no, that it's federal management. And then Otero County actually countersued again, and using the Constitution, proved that it is land, and is still continuing to cut timber, is still continuing to harvest the forest under the health and safety premise. And we are now waiting to see if the feds are going to try to take it to the Supreme Court for a final appeal to win their suit. But right now, the ball is in Otero County's court, and they're on top of this thing because they're right.
How interesting. You know, Shasta and Trinity County sent a unique spot on that battle, too, if we were to pursue that, because, you know, a lot of our timberlands have been harvested so heavy that it wouldn't be financially viable to just, you know, sell the timber to pay for the operation. But with the marijuana plantations, they could raid those at the same time they're logging, and the sheriff could sell that to the dispensaries, and we'd be in bucks up, buddy. Have a great day.
Have a good one, Nick. There is an awful lot of different things that we could do. And one of the things that we looked at very, very early on was the timber stocks of the state of Jefferson. What are they worth? And, you know, Nick brought up the Shasta Trinity National Forest. There is $8 billion, with a B, $8 billion worth of harvestable timber sitting in the Shasta Trinity National Forest. And for those of you that don't understand what harvestable timber means, that doesn't mean there's $8 billion worth of trees and we're going to go Dr. Seuss Lorax it to the ground and there's nothing left, but hey, we got our $8 billion. $8 billion in harvestable timber. Harvestable timber means an old tree that is getting ready to die and fall down and become fuel for a catastrophic wildfire. So you have a choice. Fuel for catastrophic wildfire, billions of dollars in damages, people burned out of their homes and fire fees, or harvest the timber and make $8 billion. To me, it's not a difficult decision. Unfortunately for California, it's not a difficult decision either. They just continue to make the wrong one. And speaking of wrong decisions, I wanted to bring up what happened in Lake County this week for a little bit of clarification. There seems to be a lot of confusion going on around that one. What the Lake County Board of Supervisors voted to do this Tuesday was rescind their decision to put the Jefferson question on the ballot in 2016. Okay. Now, our good friends over at Keep It California, who can't report anything right, the show to help them. You know, I at this point, I'm not even sure that they misreport things on purpose. I think they really just can't get it right. They're not capable. But anyways, to clarify, okay, these Lake County Declaration is a declaration of the people of Lake County. The Board of Supervisors does not have any jurisdiction or say-so over that declaration, whether it's been submitted or not, or they can't pull it out of submission. They have no control over it because it's not a declaration of the board. Okay. Now, back when the Board of Supervisors did take a vote on the state of Jefferson, they voted 4-1 to support a declaration for the state of Jefferson. That has also been submitted. Okay. Then later, after that, they took a vote 3-2 to put it on the ballot. Now, Anthony Farrington, who is the head of the Lake County Board of Supervisors, who also happens to be one of the slimiest, filthiest, lying pieces of crap that I have ever run into. Okay, and we've run into some, but this Anthony Farrington guy, him and one other guy, are probably the two worst slime balls that we have run across in the state of Jefferson. Decided to come back and try and say, oh, no, no, we only took one vote. We took one vote to put that on the ballot. The other vote was a practice vote. It was a for fun vote. It was for funsies. We didn't really mean it. Well, sorry, Mr. Farrington, you can't do that, because you don't like the vote that was taken. And if that's the argument that you want to make, sir, we'll take you and the video happily to court, you scumbag. So Lake County's in. Let there be no confusion. Okay? And with that, we need to get off to our last break. And maybe we get a chance to touch on representation and jurisdiction just a little bit. But until then, give us a call at 605-4567. Thank you.
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Christmas is coming next, so Kathy's got gift cards that you can get for the person that has everything. We have a whole bunch of new Toyo Tommy kerosene heaters in for Christmas and ready to go. Kurt and Ricky are delivering kerosene everywhere in the mountains. Cody and Gary are doing a lot in the plant, filling clear pearl for the portable heaters and propane bottles and bulk oil. And thank you to all the customers of ours that use the Muse card locks for trucks, cars, and equipment. Mike Alcorn, the driver of our shiny truck and trailer, has Driver of the Month award for cleanest truck. Robin is doing a great job keeping up with all of our ag customers and corning and deliveries. Joe at Weaverville plant is very busy filling propane bottles and kerosene. Northern Lights Energy, keeping families warm, tanks full, and always there before you need us. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
based on the smash hit movie that defined a generation, Flashdance is now live on stage. Across the country, critics and audiences are raving that Flashdance is a super sexy blockbuster, a superbly choreographed, astonishingly danced, Broadway-bound musical. You'd be a maniac to miss it. Flashdance features hot new songs, plus hits like Maniac, Manhunt, and What a Feeling.
Reading Civic Auditorium, January 24th. Get tickets at the box office, 229-0022, or readingcivic.com. Presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on up, moving on to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up,
moving on up
to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Kids don't fry in the kitchen, a beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big league, getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, we're moving on up.
Yes, we are. And there's not going to be a thing they can do to stop us. Just real quick for our caller, Debbie, we are we're getting the locations on the east side for you for gear. I hope to have those for you. Oh, here we go. Palo Cedro Feed, Palo Cedro Market, and the store at Hawes Farm, at Hawes Ranch. So that's what we've got out on the east side towards Palo Cedro. They are scattered all over through town. You can find different places to get gear and different things like that. So, you know, I'm really starting to like that Jefferson song. The more and more that I listen to it, I think it fits us really well. And there isn't going to be anything that they can do to stop us. And didn't really get the chance to dive into our topic like I wanted to today on the representation and jurisdiction. Because we've spent the last 2 years, I think everybody had a pretty good idea that there was a problem before the State of Jefferson process started. I don't believe a lot of people understood what that problem was, why the system was broken, and what manner it was broken, and how we can fix it. I think there's a lot of educated people out there as to what's going on, how it can be fixed. And now we need to start understanding some of the pillars of why we have representation in that manner, how we have individual sovereignty and jurisdiction, how the jurisdiction of the federal versus the state versus the county versus the municipality versus the individual. You know, because essentially what the Constitution is the insurance of individual sovereign rights and state sovereign rights. That's what the Constitution primarily exists for, is to say, hey, for the federal government, this is what's hands off. And basically everything's hands off that the Constitution doesn't give them permission to meddle in, which is just about everything. And one point that I did want to bring up today, I was hoping to discuss it in a little bit more, is that you as an individual have representation and jurisdiction over your own life. The Constitution ensures that. It grants those authorities and those powers that you yourself have jurisdiction, that you need to understand. And just because someone is an elected official does not give them the right or the jurisdiction to alter your rights or your sovereignty, okay? Because I elect so-and-so to the city council, and he is now an elected representative, does not give him the right or the jurisdiction to supersede my inalienable rights. Just because you were elected by the will of the people does not mean that you have the right to alter the document with the people. Because you're elected to office does not give you the right to dismiss my sovereign right for free speech. It does not give you the sovereign right to dismiss my ability or my right to bear arms and defend myself. Just because you have been elected by the will of the people, in no way, shape, or form does that give you the jurisdiction to supersede the contract that we all exist under. And a lot of these politicians, federal, state, county, and city, seem to suffer under this delusion that because they were elected by the will of the people, they can do whatever they want. Well, you can't. I was referencing Anthony Farrington out of Lake County a little bit earlier. That guy is a little tin pot despot that thinks because his title says chairman of the board that he has some kind of unique and special usury powers. Well, you don't, bub. It's actually kind of ridiculous to watch how he runs around and doesn't even understand the functionality of government himself, yet he is so desperate to be a part of what he doesn't understand. And like I was saying, I was hoping to get into this a little bit more and be able to qualify it with a little bit more clarity, so I'm kind of trying to throw a lot out there at you at once. But if you do anything, I am urging everybody, take a step back for the holidays, breathe, enjoy it. But if you do anything, investigate your individual sovereignty, your individual jurisdiction as a person, and what your rights are, and come to the fundamental understanding that because a government official is elected by the will of the people, or a government board or governing body is elected or formed by the will of the people, that does not give them the right to supersede the will or the contract of the people. Just because you're elected does not mean that you get to run around and do whatever you want, or not do whatever you're supposed to do. Okay, it's not carte blanche authority. And there seems to be a great misunderstanding and a dismissal of that truth in our present government nowadays. So understand that just because you're an elected official does not mean that you get to supersede the rights of your constituents or ignore your constituents or just do whatever you want. That's especially apparent in the state of California, where the elected officials just seem to think that they can do whatever they desire. And that a lot of the problem with that, too, is our elected officials don't understand government and the way that it's supposed to work, or the people, or the will of the people. And ultimately, that's a failing of ourselves, and a failing of us to understand our individual and unique sovereignty and rights. We're going to keep hammering on this next week, because we really didn't get to get it out in the detail that I think it needs to be gotten out there to understanding. At this point, I hope everybody desperately understands representation, why we need representation, why it's vital, why it's the way back to getting our state back, getting a foothold back in our government. I hope you understand the difference between a republic and a democracy at this point, and understand clearly what the difference is, why one is fundamentally sound, why one is fundamentally not sound. I hope you understand those concepts and get them very, very clearly. I hope you understand the intentions of our founding fathers, and the Constitution was not to incorporate the powers of the federal government, but they were to incorporate the powers of the people against government in all forms, and to establish the sovereignty of the individual states. I hope a lot of people understand that. I'm not sure that they do to the point that they need to. And jurisdiction. I really hope that you guys take the time
to understand the jurisdiction, just exactly who is in charge where, because if you don't know, you're in trouble, because I guarantee you most of your government doesn't know who's in charge in a particular instance, and they just default to the federal government. And as Mark Baird is fond of saying, a liberty not exercised is a liberty lost. You need to know where you are jurisdictionally. You need to know where your rights are. You need to know who you need to answer to, if anybody, in any instance. So get yourself informed, because that's the next vital thing that you got to understand. We will see you after Christmas. I hope you guys have an amazing Christmas, and we'll see you after that. Until then, enjoy the weather. Take a step back. Take a deep breath. Enjoy your family, Jefferson.
Sovereign Minds is next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Democratic presidential candidates Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton moved past the rancor over a breach in her campaign's voter data last night. Then they turned the debate in New Hampshire to a pointed but polite discussion of national security, fears of terrorism, and the economy. Over on the Republican side, Jeb Bush told a New Hampshire audience Saturday that Donald Trump cannot, quote, insult his way to the presidency. Trump responded in Iowa.
I don't want Jeb Bush's endorsement, honestly. I don't want his endorsement. It doesn't mean anything. He's not tough. He's not smart. I don't want those endorsements.
Trump remains near the top of the polls. A Kenyan police official says six passengers were questioned over a suspected bomb found on an Air France plane that turned out to be a hoax. The official says during the flight, a passenger noticed something in the laboratory that looked like a bomb. Turns out it had no explosives in it. The jet